What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented musician who's already branded himself to record and produce for some of the biggest names in the business, such as Lil Wayne, Drake, and also branching into commercial and jingle markets. Please welcome music producer, composer, and engineer, KC. What's happening, KC?
What's going on, Spud, man?
Pleasure to have you here on the show. Chopping it up with another musician, another keyboardist, an engineer, man. Hey, man, it's about to go down, bro.
Okay, bro. I appreciate you having me on the show, man. It's an honor, man.
No, man, the honor's mine, KC. I mean, just being in the business, is with the length of the time that you have, man, you've already had commercials with Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, Jack Daniels, you know, tracking for Lil Wayne and Drake, and, you know, your collaboration and possible collaboration with Timbaland, man, and the team, man. That's just phenomenal, man.
Man, blessed, man. That's just a lot of hard work, man.
That's right. So how did you start in the business, Casey, as a full-time musician, man? When did this become a full-time gig for you?
Full-time, I started around 2005, man. I've been doing it since I was in eighth grade. Like, my best friend introduced me to it. And I wasn't really, everybody was in band and stuff, and I really wasn't in band. So, I was just starting off on, like, Fruity Loops and, you know, just really reasons and things like of that nature. And I didn't really understand it too much, but as I got in high school, I started noticing, like, man, okay, you know, I'm getting the hang of this a little bit.
Right.
You know, and I started selling beats for, like, $25, and people started buying them in high school. I'm like, okay. And as I made my way to college, I bought my first keyboard. I bought a Triton LE.
Nice.
And that kind of like messed my whole college experience up, man. Like, I was in my dorm room practicing on that the whole time instead of going to school, man.
Right.
And from there, I just, you know, I had met somebody in, I went to school in Montgomery, Alabama. Went to college in Montgomery, Alabama, man. And as I was doing production, I had met a guy named Kevin K.O. Cates. And he was head of Grand Hustle at the time. So he had took me over there, and I got to meet, you know, T.I. and the Dro, and it's right when the King album was going on. So I had the honor to actually, you know, start my production off under him and seeing how things actually worked.
Right.
Yeah, so that was a big thing for me right there.
Now, that's hot, man. You know, I just like talking to cats, man, and finding out, man, you know, when that turnaround came, man. You know, if you're working a 9-to-5 or if you were in school, you know, wanting to kind of branch off into that full-time thing, man. And, you know, it's always kind of cool to go back, you know, because everyone's just got their times. Like, man, I can tell you to the day, well, you know, when things turned around for me, man, I got that break. And, you know, it's been smooth sailing after that. But, no, that's hot, man. You know, musical influence is also a huge part of the show, man. I love asking other musicians and other keyboardists, man, who their primary influences are. You know, who was that guy, man, that really paved the way for you and just kind of gave you that insight of where this is where I want to be as a musician?
Yeah, I got to say Timbaland, man. Timbaland did it for me.
Right.
I enjoyed his music so much because he was so different from everything else that was coming out. He still had musical, you know, still had musical aspect in his production, but the sounds and the drums and everything that he used was different. And, man, I enjoyed that, man, but like, now that I've started to listen to more and more music, I appreciate the Quincy Jones. Oh, yeah, man. Just going back listening to, like, the Thriller album.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing, man. Amazing.
It is, so, man. You know, I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, we come into the game with our influences. And, you know, as our musical talents and our ear develops, man, we start branching off and listen to some other guys, like you say, Quincy Jones, man. To me, he's the father of all producers. You know what I mean? Without Quincy Jones, there would be no Timbalands and Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis's, Teddy Riley, who I looked up to as my mentor as a keyboardist and a composer and producer. Man, he was that guy for me, like Timbalands for you. So, yeah, man, we got to give it up to Quincy Jones, man. He just really paved the way for all of us, man, from musical direction to scoring to movie soundtracks.
Scoring.
Yeah, man, he's just done it all.
That's why I recently seen his, they had something on like CNBC about his career. They had the Titans. I don't know if you ever seen it, but they be having like the Titans of our time. And yeah, they had Quincy Jones. And I just noticed like all the scoring that he had did and just going through his struggle, his grind, being in Paris and conducting the orchestra. I'm like, wow, this guy was young doing this.
Right, he's on another level, yeah, man.
Whole nother level, man.
Right, but you know, it just goes to show, it's like, man, this musical journey, man, this thing can go on forever. I mean, you can see how up in the game Quincy is now, but he's still actively doing things in the business. You know, he just got his AKG headphone endorsement deals. So, man, it just goes to show you, man, you get your name in the game like that, things pop even when you're, you know, getting out of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So being a keyboardist, KC, man, I got to ask, man, you know, coming from a hardware synth background, you know, we're merging into the software world of recording and tracking with our instruments, man. Is there a preference that you like? You like your hardware or do you like your software in your rig?
I'm more software now, man. I'm more software. I was hardware for a long time, and I'm in the software now, man. I'm heavy on native instruments. I love the Studio One sequencers. Nice, man.
I come from a Logic background. I've been running Logic for years. Before Logic, I ran Cubase, did Pro Tools for a minute, and I recently got out of Logic. I would say a good 8 months now I've been running Studio One, and it feels like I've been running it for years now. Just the simplicity of it and just the editing function that we have, man, it's endless what we can do.
I really enjoy it. I'm glad, you went to the NAMM convention last year, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, man, that's what I was introduced to, in 2010. They had an international convention in the Studio One. I was amazed with it. Like, wow, why haven't I been knowing about this?
Right. A lot of the similarities were there, and I just felt like at home. You know, having a search menu for my samples and loops and the drag and drop features. I was like, man, that right there just takes my workload and workflow and cuts it in half. I'm able to write and track faster. Yeah.
Exactly. You can change the format of it, you know, your WAV file. You put it in there and adjust the volume by just clicking on it and adjusting. It's great, man.
Oh, yeah. Now, for your interfaces, man, I mean, what's your personal preference for your interfaces? I mean, using the Apogee converters, or you got your Mo2 interfaces, or what are we tracking on?
I got the Digi-003.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the Digi-003, man. I love it, man. I don't know why. I just love the sound that it puts out for me.
No, O3's hot, man. I mean, Digizine, you know, they're now, you know, running the Avid system, but the O3 was... It was pretty beefier compared to like your M-boxes and, you know, the M-box minis and things. O3 was pretty decent with the pre's and things coming in. Now, are you running Mac or PC?
I'm running PC.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm running PC.
Nice.
Yeah, PC just allows me to get a lot more VSTs and because I'm in the whole digital age, man. You know, there's a lot more VSTs I can get with the PC than compared to the Mac.
Oh, no, definitely, man. And I bounce back, Casey, just to give you a heads up, man. I came from a PC world, and I got into the Mac world, man, because I wanted to run Logic. And, you know, it was cool, and I loved it a lot. But going back to the PC world, I'm running Windows 7 and everything 64-bit. It's like, man, I can't lose on that. And plus, you mentioned again, man, there's a lot of plugins that I got a chance to play with that I can't get on the Mac. You know what I mean? So just having those editing and those little dings and whistles, man, just gives me more flexibility and keeps me more creative in the lab. So, yeah, hats off to PC, man.
Yeah, I do that thing. Right.
Now, you've been tracking and did some track work for Lil Wayne and Drake, man. How did those deals come together for you?
Man, like I was telling you, when I moved to Montgomery, I met the guy, K.O. Cates.
Right.
And through him, I had met another producer named Darius Diesel Harrison. He's originally from New Orleans, and he was Lil Wayne's engineer. He engineered like the Carter One, parts of the Carter Two. He did the whole Carter Three engineer. So I think that was around 2005, late 2005, 2006. He had moved to Atlanta, and I was in Atlanta also. So he was working on, I believe, the Carter Two, and we had hooked up, and we did a lot of tracking stuff together. You know, he liked me, and I was like, cool, you know, let's work, let's get it in. So around 2007, he had moved back to New Orleans, and he was like, man, why don't you come move down here, we can start grinding down here. And I was like, cool, move down there. It was a little rough at first. It was very rough, actually, because he had some things locked up, and a lot of things didn't go through. So when I moved down there, I was stuck. I was homeless for about 5 months, just really living out the car. And, you know, things started to turn around as, you know, we started getting a little bit more recording done. And Lil Wayne had actually came back to him because him and Wayne had fell out over, I don't know what, you know, over a course of time. But, you know, they got back together and they started recording Quarter 3. And I submitted a lot of tracks. And
right.
The first single that was originally supposed to be Lil Wayne's single was called Lights, Camera, Action. It was featuring Chanel, or Young Money, and that was the track that I did.
Nice.
So that's how that first one came about. And then from there, they just kept on recording all the beats I submitted, and, you know, we was in the studio working, and for having and you know, running to Drake in the younger days. And
right.
They recorded that first song, you know, was I Can Take Your Girl with him and Drake, and it was amazing, man. You know, I'm blessed for it,
right? That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to add to that, man. Recently, I heard that you're in the works of working with Timbaland, your mentor,
yeah.
Man. You got to give me some history of how this all came together and, you know, what you got looking forward to on this.
Man, I started working with a great pianist, a guy named Chuck Maestro down here. And his manager was actually working in Timbaland's camp. And her name was Cheryl Banks. Cheryl had heard some tracks that we had did. Like, well, you know, I want to submit these. But, you know, Timbaland, he got Justin Bieber coming in the studio. I think it was like Rick Ross and a couple more artists.
Right.
And yeah, had the tracks and he loved them. So we got a chance to, you know, sit down and top it up with Tim, and you know, we're trying to work some things out. Hopefully, things go good.
Man, that's hot, man. You know, like I said, make a full circle, man. This is the guy that inspired you. And, you know, now you're in the talks of working with him and tracking for him, man. Just funny how that stuff works out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, you get, I mean, hard work as far as, like, you know, just working towards something you know you want to do. And I can't say that I knew I was going to end up eventually working with Timbaland, but I think anything that any of our producers set our mind to, I think we achieve it, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to define your style as a keyboardist, music producer, and composer, KC, I mean, what's some of the sonic definitions and signatures that we can look forward to in your tracking, man?
Man, I'm big on, like, big epic pads and strings. If you hear big, like, big intros and nice outros to my music, I gotta have it in there for all my tracks.
Right.
Yeah, that's... I'm big on big epic pads, man.
You know, speaking of epic pads, man, are you using Omnisphere at all?
Honestly, I love Omnisphere, man. I love Omnisphere, man.
Epic pads, yeah. Man, you gotta use Omnisphere, man. It just gives you a sound that's not gonna sound so factory like a lot of the virtual instruments that are out there.
Yeah.
You know, I found myself using it a lot. Especially the Atmosphere banks and things that's in Omnisphere. I had, you know, Spectrasonic stuff from back in the day. And, man, Omnisphere, there's not a sound that I can't find that I can't track with. I'm going to make it pop out of that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know exactly what you mean. You know what? I've been messing around with Nexus. You heard of the Nexus?
I got Nexus 2.2. Yes, sir.
Oh, you got the 2.2 upgrade?
Yeah. With all the banks. Crazy, I got all man. The expansions on that, too.
Oh, man. That is crazy. I'm about to get with you with that one.
Man, I tell you this. Nexus 2 is another beast of a virtual instrument. I mean, it's, again, a lot of guys, well, it's a Rompler. I said, man, that's a Rompler. But once you start stacking and layering your sounds from other synths, it changes the factory again. You know what I mean? This becomes a whole new world of tracking and really editing your sounds and really building your library. But as far as a core virtual instrument, Nexus is like another Omnisphere, in my opinion. You know, when you put all the patches and expansions together, man, you got a whole world of synths right at your disposal.
I agree. And the texture of each one of them sounds and just being able to manipulate them. And, oh, man, it's great, man. It's hard for me to get away from Omnisphere and Nexus when I'm creating tracks, man.
It is. And you know what? You're not going to leave them.
Yeah. I don't think so, man.
No.
I'm going to keep on creating more and more. I think I'm going to stay with them.
Exactly. It just, you know, just gives you so much variety, man. And if you listen to the library and the patches, there's not a lot of duplicate sounds in there. You know, each patch has its own kind of its own taste and own sauce. And you know what I mean? It's different. And, you know, I don't have a lot of repeated patches in my Nexus library at all.
Yeah, me neither, man. That's crazy. I haven't got it. I really wanted that 2.2 to really start messing with that dubstep edition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dubstep, man, is hot, man. I see a lot of guys kind of getting into the dubstep. You know, I'm glad they finally put a name on it. You know, I think the actual style musically has been out there for a minute, but it just wasn't labeled anything. You know what I mean? A lot of guys really tapped into it and didn't know they were tapping into it. But it's really big lately, and there's a lot of synths that are really releasing new patches to give you that dubstep feel in your tracks. So, no, Nexus 2.2, that'll give you that dubstep feel you're looking for, definitely.
Gotta get it. I'm gonna have to get it, man.
Now, you recently just opened, man. You're in the process of opening your own studio, man. I mean, what you got running in there, man? How's this going to be set up for you?
Oh, man. We just really officially got the building, I say, about three or four days ago. Yeah. We just officially got the building. The process is just really, I guess, remodeling and deconstructing the layout of the building, man. We have, you know, of course, we got to soundproof it out and just get everything right in there. I don't have exactly what I want to put in there yet. I know I want to run two different setups. We have enough for two different rooms, and I don't know exactly if one of them will be a PC room or do I want to go ahead and get the Apple. I'm not for sure with it yet. I don't know.
Right. No, that's kind of cool, man. You're going back and forth on the ideas, and you know I'm a firm believer planning for the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, man, what if I get that project where I need to be cross-platform on a Mac and a PC? Even though you may have the same DAWs, it's just kind of nice having that you know that different platform of Mac and PC.
Yeah, so that's a really good we're in limbo about right now. But I mean, it's a great feeling to be able to have your own spot instead of you know going from spot to spot doing your recording and then. No, ultimately, you know, gotta have a setup at the house. So
right.
Yeah.
Track at the crib, bring it to the lab, and the nice thing too is you can invite other artists at your lab. You know what I mean? You got a new spot
exactly.
They can record, and ain't no place like home, man. Even though we might bring our laptops, it's just that environment that you're used to tracking. It just kind of gives you your own home ambiance. You know, so you gotta have that battle station at your crib, and you know your new location. So yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, man. I'm excited about that though.
So, man, getting into the commercial and jingle market, KC, you landed a deal with KFC, and you also tracked and did a commercial for Jack Daniels. How did those come together, man, and is this any more works in place for any kind of movie works, any more commercials in the works?
And as far as the movie, I met Louis Leterrier, man. He did The Clash of the Titans, The Hulk, Transporter 1, and Transporter 2. He's a great guy, man. He's from Paris, man. He's a director now here. And they actually started shooting a movie in New Orleans. And I had met him out. And we were just talking. And, you know, he had told me he's involved in movies. And I'm like, well, yeah, I do, you know, score for films. And I didn't know exactly who he was at the time.
Right.
So he's like, man, bring me a CD. I'm going to stand at the Roots or whatever. I was like, cool. Went up there, got my CD. We sat down and talked. And then he told me his name. And he was like, yeah, these are films I'm doing. I'm like, wow. Okay. Wow. Man, it was crazy. You know, and he's like, why don't you come down to the set? I was like, cool. He's like, I got somebody I want you to meet. And he was like, who is it that you want me to meet? And he was like, Common. He's like, do you know him? I was like, of course I know Common. He's like, come on down to the set. And he's filming the movie You See Me Now. And went down there, got the chance to meet Common. So me and Common chopped it up and we actually went to go play ball later on and went back to the set. Me and Lewis went out to dinner, man, spoke more about the movie thing, man. He put me in contact with a lot of people as far as like who's doing his scoring. So hopefully something good comes about that.
Wow.
As far as the KSC and Jack Daniels, went through a company, Image USA. Image USA is a company that does a lot of their commercials. And they had contacted me about It was just really submitted music at first.
Sure.
And they had my music. It was like, okay, well now here's, you know, the concept of the commercial, and they were shooting me over email with the concept of the commercial. You know, and I got one placement and they was like, okay, well we want you to do such and such and such. We have six more.
Wow,
okay. Yeah.
Man, they put you to work, man.
Yeah, they put me to work. Now I love it, man. keep it coming, please. Keep it coming.
That's right.
Yeah. And also the Jack Daniels was with the same company with Image USA. They do commercials with them also. So.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It was it's been a busy 2012, man.
Man, I see you, man.
Very busy, man.
That's right. So what's on the musical agenda for the remainder of the year, KC?
Man, hopefully, you know, starting to get more of this, these movies going, you know, as far as, like, the movie scoring, man. I really want to touch down and get that going as much as I can, man. There's a couple of little artists coming out that I'm working with, a girl named Treasure Davis. She's in RCA Records, man. Shout out to her. She's doing her thing, man. She's very talented, man. And,
wow.
Love to be working with her, man. Yeah.
Man, congrats on that, man. You know, I love R&B. I'm an R&B producer myself. So, you know, just to have, you know, new vocalists coming out in the R&B world, man, that's always bringing music to my ears. You know, we need it, so.
Well, yeah, exactly, man. We got an R&B artist down here, actually, Rex Davis, man, somebody that, when I first moved to New Orleans, that's who I started really producing, and he's grown a lot, man. He's doing his thing, man, so, you know, everybody's going to be on the lookout for him, man. He has a nice little buzz down here, nice following, man.
Nice. Well, yeah, KC, man, it's been a pleasure having you on my show, bro. You got to come back. I want to talk about your new movie soundtracks. I know you're going to land some deals, man. Got to keep my eye on you, dude.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you, you know, for having me on the show, man.
Oh,
I appreciate
no problem.
It a lot, bro.
All right, have a safe one, bro. All
right, you too, man.
Peace. And a big shout out and thank you to KC for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. KC's a real good guy, man. He's got a lot of talent and he's got a big future ahead of himself in the industry. So from his movie soundtrack works, his commercial and jingles, the track works that he's done with Lil Wayne and Drake, and now collaborating with Mr. Timbaland himself, can't go wrong there. And to follow KC, you can hit him up on Twitter at KC Da Beat Banga. KC DA Beat, B-E-A-T, Banga, B-A-N-G-A, KC to V Banga. And for my past and current interviews, hit me up at www.spudtootight.com, www.spudtootight.com. And to close out the remainder of the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show. And the title of the track is called Eat You Alive, and it's by Lil Wayne, featuring Ludacris, and it was produced by KC. So until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.
Massacre music, lose it, nooses, loosen the noose around my neck, I'm turning blue, bitch. About to go stupid, that highly goes some shit. Keep a set of good flies for ear, pure, loose lips. I never said I was too sick. I said I'm too sick. Four sick, five sick, six cents, dead people. Just flip ahead, people. Instinct. I don't care what color your ears, I burn you, turn your skin pink. And if you can't stand me, then knock me down. But I don't wanna hear that shit like Fox and Brown. This we the F people, and I don't talk shit like deaf people. New Orleans refugee like Wycliffe people. My street ego, and nigga watch your ego. Cause if you think you're too fly, then I shoot down that ego. And then the monster see you, and the monster need food. And that monster's me too, so the monster eat you.
I don't want you, boy, you're the monster, boy. He's a monster, yeah. Feed him rappers, feed him beans.
I'm tired of playing with y'all boys. Wayne, you ready? Luda. Yeah, that's right, I'll eat you alive. Ludacris, I'll eat you yeah. Till it ain't none left, till the cops can't identify none of your facial features. Letting out my rage, unleash the beast, unlock your guest of honor. Let me out my cage, I'll eat these beats, I'm hip-hop's Jeffrey Dahmer. Have yet to be defeated, my spot is still reserved. Till you sell diamond, nigga, don't say a fucking word. My flows are animalistic, just say I'm a seasoned vet. I received my master's in rap and you just a teacher's pet. And I'm this season's threat, yeah, I'm fucking mother nature. Flow so hard, if you get up on a track, I'll make your own mother hate you. Act like she don't even know you, act like she don't even care. Ludacris turn rappers to ashes, pull them up and put them in the air. It's rap orientation, and yes, I'm glad to meet you. I bring the pain, hey Lil Wayne, go get the anesthesia. For these non-contenders, for these rhyme offenders, they time is not on my agenda, bitch nigga. Cause I don't want you boys, I'm a monster boy.